And we're holding by the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amud Beis. Mishnah says, "Hakol kosher licorice is a Megillah. Everybody is kosher to lay in the Megillah. Chutz mecheresh shoyt of a cotton, with the exception of cheresh. Now, usually cheresh in Gemara terminology usually means a deaf mute, meaning somebody who was born deaf or became deaf at a very young age and therefore never learned to speak either. Now here, obviously, if they're laying in the Megillah, then they're not that kind, or they're not that kind of deaf mute. We're just talking about they're deaf in the sense they, so therefore, so they can speak, but they can't hear themselves speaking." Tosfos points out. So a cheresh shoyta, a person with a not normal person, an imbecile or the various, we'll have in Chagiga in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, we'll have some definitions of what's considered a shoyta in halacha. The cotton or child. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says it is kosher for a child to read the Megillah and be moitzi adults. Tosfos discusses now, are we talking about a cotton who is of the age of chinuch? If we're talking about a child below the age of chinuch, then of course he can't be moitzi other people. And if we're talking about that he is of the age of chinuch, so what's the problem? He's chayav d'rabbanan, so is everybody else. So why can't he be moitzi the other people if he's d'rabbanan and they're d'rabbanan? So Tosfos' answer is because the fact is that with adults you have one d'rabbanan. You have the whole concept of reading the Megillah, of course, is d'rabbanan. So they're chayiv d'rabbanan. With a child, you have a d'rabbanan on top of a d'rabbanan. Namely, the child himself is not of the age, he's not bar mitzvah yet. So therefore, his chiyuv of any mitzvah is only d'rabbanan. And here, his chiyuv of reading Megillah is d'rabbanan. So to that extent, he's the same as everybody else. But you have two d'rabbanans. So therefore, he can't be motzi people who are chayiv based on only one d'rabbanan. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is kosher for a katan to lay in, as we're going to learn in the Gemara where he gets that from. So the Gemara says, "Man tana cheresh di eved nami loy." Which tana is it that's saying that not only a cheresh can't read l'chatchila, but you could have said, after all, that b'di'eved, if he reads the Megillah, then b'di'eved he can be moitzi people. So who is it that's saying that he cannot be moitzi people even b'di'eved? Because our Mishnah is saying chutz mecheresh shoyt b'katan. Amar Rav Masna Rav Yosi. So Rav Masna says specifically that would be according to Rav Yosi. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Brachos regarding saying Krishma. Hakoreis Shema v'lo yishmiya la'oznoi. If a person says Shema and does not hear what he himself is saying. So now we're not necessarily talking about he's a deaf person. We're talking about, for example, that he's only mouthing the words and he's not actually saying them in a way that he can hear it with his own ears. Yotza. So the Tanakama of that Mishnah says he's Yotza. Rabbi Yosi and Lo Yotza. And Rabbi Yosi says he doesn't. So therefore, by this, the assumption is that, in other words, Rabbi Yosi is saying that you have to hear what you're saying. So therefore, that would apply to Megillah as well. So you don't hear because you're deaf. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi says you can't be moitzi people. So the question is, when we ma'id Rabbi Yosi he v'di'ebed nami loy, okay, but who says, why does Rabbi Masna have to specifically say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yosi and say that it means even v'di'ebed, he can't be moitzi? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, why can't we just as well say that? Why can't we just as well say that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, or l'chatchila hu d'loy, and the reason why? Why would we be interested in making this Mishnah work specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda? Tosfos says because the halacha there in connection with Shema is like Rabbi Yehuda, that even if you don't hear the actual words of Shema you're saying, you're only mouthing them, you are in fact still yotze. So therefore, the Gemara wants to try to make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So why can't we do that? Why can't we say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Or l'chatchila hu d'loy? Only l'chatchila are we saying that he can't be motzi other people. Ha d'yeved shapodami, but b'di'eved it would be fine. So what forces Rav Masna to say that our Mishnah means even b'di'eved you can't be motzi people? And the answer is lo sapodaych. You can't possibly think that way, that our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. After all, it mentioned a cheresh together with a shoyt of a cotton in the same breath, meaning ma shoyt of a cotton di'eved nami loy. Just like with them, They can't be moitzi other people, even b'di'eved, because there's no particular reason we could. I mean, a cheresh, at least, again, when we're talking about a cheresh who can't see, who can't speak and can't, a cheresh who can't speak and can't hear, in general, halacha considers him to be of subnormal intelligence, because if he can't communicate with people, then how is he ever going to learn something? So here we're saying, we're not talking about that kind, we're talking about a person who is deaf, but is still able to speak. So he's not considered subnormal intelligence. So we're saying, but nevertheless, we're putting him in the same category as the shoita and the katan. And with those, there's no reason to think they would be able to be moitzi anybody. Because after all, they don't have the normal intelligence to be considered a bar chiyuv. So they're clearly not moitzi anybody. So ma shoyte b'katan di'eved namiloi. So just like they can't be moitzi people even b'di'eved, af cheresh di'eved namiloi. The same way the cheresh, presumably the Mishnah means that they can't even be moitzi people b'di'eved. So that could only work, pointed Rabbi Yosi, pointed Rabbi Yehuda, that wouldn't work. Because if Rabbi Yosi allows it by Shema, even though he doesn't hear the words, then he would allow it by Megillah as well. The Gemara says, why? So who says that means anything? The Duma Hakid Isa Bahakid Isa. Maybe all it is the three that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Each one has its own rules. The Cheresh has one rule, the Shot of a Cotton have a different rule. Not necessarily are we saying that all of them are that all of them are the same in this regard. And the answer is no, we still can't say that our Mishnah would go according to Rabbi Yehuda, mid katoni sefer, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, because the Mishnah continues that Rabbi Yehuda says it is kosher with a katan, miklal deresh alav Rabbi Yehuda, implying that the first part of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because of course, if he's arguing later in the Mishnah, it means that the Tanakama is not Rabbi Yehuda. Still, the Gemara doesn't like that, b'duma kula Rabbi Yehuda. Still, maybe we could say that it is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and me dummy, because after all, how is it comparable? Racial psula b'seifa l'ksheira, that the first part of the Mishnah is telling us who's posel to lay in the Megillah. The second one is telling us, the second part, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, is telling us who's kosher. Rashi actually takes out this line. Rashi said the line that we have over here, v'duma kula Rabbi Yehuda, me dummy, racial psula b'seifa l'ksheira. Rashi says we shouldn't be goyisit. It's a lishne yaseira. It's just like it's unnecessary wording. The Gemara is going to clarify why we can say that the whole Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. So v'duma kula Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you could say the entire Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, or trei gavni katan katani la. We're talking about two different kinds of katan. There's a katan who is not yet of the age of chinuch, and there's a katan who is of the age of chinuch. Rashi defines that for this purpose, the age of chinuch would be 9 or 10 years old. Meforshim ask, actually, I mean, we find that in connection, for example, with fasting on Yom Kippur, but where do we get dafka that when it comes to laying in Megillah, it would be 9 or 10, but okay, that's what Rashi is saying. Presumably below that age, the kid is probably not able to read the Megillah. So maybe the Mishnah is talking about two kinds of cotton, v'chsuri mechsera, in which case the Mishnah maybe is missing a phrase, v'hochi katoni. It means to say like this, hakol k'sheirin likrisis ha-megillah chutz mecheresh shoyt v'katon. So those three cannot lay the Megillah and be moitzi other people. But the Mishnah would be continuing, implying, b'med v'ram amorim b'katon shalai yigia l'chinuch. When would that apply? Only if the cotton is not yet of the age of chinuch, so he's below 9 or 10 years old. But if he is of the age of chinuch, then the Mishnah would be saying that he could even be moitzi other people lachatchila. Share of Yehuda machshir b'katan, because Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan who's of the age of chinuch is able to be moitzi other people. So why can't we do that? And that allows us to say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, which again, as Tosfos said, the advantage of that is that. The advantage of that is that the halacha is like the Yehuda when it comes to Shema, and therefore our Mishnah would be correct according to halacha, rather than like Rabbi Yosi, where the halacha is not like him as far as Shema. So why can't we do that? What forces Rabbi Masna to say that our Mishnah is specifically according to Rabbi Yosi? So the answer is b'mayu kimta, Rabbi Yehuda v'di'eved. Okay. But how are you trying to explain? You're trying to say then that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, and saying that only b'di'eved. In other words, you're going to say that when Rabbi Yehuda says hakodesh shema v'lo yishmiel la'oznoi, he's only saying b'di'eved, and in our Mishnah he's saying that if a kid reads then b'di'eved maybe it's kosher. But what about, we have a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon Pazi, taught. When you have a deaf person who can speak but who can't hear. So again, in other words, he became deaf later in life. So he's not considered to be of subnormal intelligence because he can speak, he can communicate, but he can't hear. Terdem l'chatchila, such a person is able to give truma l'chatchila, even though he needs to make a bracha and he can't hear the bracha. Nevertheless, l'chatchila even, he could be giving truma. So now, if we were to say that Rabbi Yehuda hold, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that b'diyeved, that only b'diyeved can somebody who doesn't hear, cheresh. So again, we're talking about the cheresh who can't hear, that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying only b'diyeved, is that b'diyeved he would be motzi people, just like a chila he shouldn't. But here we have another braisa where we see that such a person can give truma chila. Well, then money. So who would that be like? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he would only allow such a thing to b'diyeved. And according to Rabbi Yosi, not even b'diyeved. So necessarily, that forces us to say that Rabbi Yehuda rather would hold that a cheresh hamadaber ve'en yishemea, where you can speak but can't hear, could read Megillah even l'chatchila, and our Mishnah would not be like him. Our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yosi, that he can't even do it b'diyeved. The Mishnah about the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Breid, Rabbi Shimon Pazi's Braisa about Truma, then would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. But so that necessarily requires then that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because if we said that our Mishnah was like Rabbi Yehuda and saying you couldn't do it b'diyeved, then we're stuck. We don't have a third opinion to attribute that Braisa to. Now, of course, we can't say Rabbi Yehuda Breid, Rabbi Shimon Pazi can have his own opinion. He's not a Tana, he's an Amora. He's quoting, he's teaching the Braisa, but the Braisa comes from before his times. So it has to represent one of the existing opinions. So therefore, that requires us to say, in other words, so again, there's two possibilities. We could say Rabbi Yehuda allows it l'chatchila and Rabbi Yosi doesn't even allow it b'diyeved, and our Mishnah therefore would be according to Rabbi Yosi. It has to be that way, because otherwise, if there's no opinion that says that it's allowed l'chatchila, then who would be the author of the Braisa about doing it? The other possibility we would have said is to say that Rabbi Yehuda only allows it b'diyeved, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi not even b'diyeved. But if we do that, then there's nobody who says that you could do it l'chatchila, and then it wouldn't fit with this last braisa we quoted. So that's what forces Rabbi Masna to say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yosi, and to say that Rabbi Yehuda would allow it even l'chatchila. Okay, the problem with that is ve'ela mai Rabbi Yehuda v'afil l'chatchila. Okay, so what are you telling me? That last braisa that we just quoted is that Rabbi Yehuda would say that even l'chatchila, a person is able to do things that require him to say something and to hear what he's saying, such as making a bracha and separating truma, or such as saying shema, etc. But ela hodatanya, what about, we have yet another braisa. Lo yivarach adam b'chus hamazin b'livay, a person is not allowed to bench in his heart, meaning just thinking the words, the imberach yotza, but if he did make the bracha that way, then he's yotza. Mani. So who would that be like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Yosi. Then it still wouldn't work according to either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yosi, where we see that it's only b'diyeved. Either Rabbi Yehuda afil l'chatchila, if you're going to try to tell me that the braisa about truma is according to Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda would allow it even l'chatchila. Rabbi Yosi after the d'yeved nami lo, and Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't, and Rabbi Yosi wouldn't even allow it b'diyeved. Now Tosfos says, okay, what's the point of comparing birkas hamazon to any of these other things? Megillah, you could say that, listen, since shema, you have to hear what you're saying, because the pasuk says shema, as we're going to say soon in the Gemara, that it means you have to hear what you're saying. So fine, when the Chachamim set up the concept of learning Megillah, then they set it up similar to that d'oraisa and said that you have to hear it. But Birkas HaMazon is itself d'oraisa. It doesn't say Shema by it. So Tosfos says, okay, the Gemara knew that we can, in fact, learn the halachas of Birkas HaMazon from Krishma, and therefore, if Krishma you have to hear, then Birkas HaMazon you also have to hear. So in other words, the bottom line is, whichever way we learn it, whether we say that Rabbi Yehuda allows it b'chila, or whether we say that he only allows it b'diyeved, and either way, Rabbi Yosi does not even allow it b'diyeved, we seem to be stuck over here, one way or the other, considering the various braisas that we had, where we had our Mishnah itself, we said maybe we could learn either way, but we had a braisa saying that such a person could take truma and make the bracha on it even l'chatchila. And then we have another one by Birkas HaMazon, on the other hand, which says that he can only do it b'diyeved. So you have three opinions, apparently, and you only have two tanoim to attribute them to. The answer is, la'olam Rabbi Yehuda. We can answer that the Braisa about that the last Braisa we quoted, the one about saying Birkas HaMazon, is in fact according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would in fact say that it is kosher to do that, to just mouth the words and not hear them, even lachatchila. But like Kasha, Hadidei, Hadirabu. But there's no contradiction, because one the Braisa that says that he can do it lachatchila is Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. The one about Birkas HaMazon, that it's only b'diavad, would be according to his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. D'tanya, as D'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akoda es Shema, Tzorech Shashmi ala Oznei. When a person is saying Shema, he has to hear what he's saying with his ears. Shenema Shema Yisrael Hashem ala Kenu Hashem Echad, which means Hashmei ala Oznecha, make your ears hear, Mashata Moitzi Mipicha, what you're saying out with your mouth. So therefore, so we see Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that you do have to do that. So now we can say we have three tenoim, and therefore we can attribute all three things to them. We have Rabbi Yossi saying even b'diavad no good. We have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying only b'diavad is kosher, but l'chatchila not. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda mentions that in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's name, and Rabbi Yehuda himself disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says it's mutter even l'chatchila. The Braisa continues, Rav Meir says no. When the Pasuk continues, Asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha, that these words, which I command you today, should be on your heart, meaning, Acha kavanas halev, hein hein advarim, meaning that it all depends on the kavana of your heart. It's not necessary for you to actually hear it. Well, the Gemara says, Hashtag the osis lahachi. Okay, now that you've just mentioned Rav Meir's opinion, which we didn't know of before, then Afilu Tema, Rabbi Yehuda Kirabe Svirale, then we don't have to say anymore that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We can say he agrees with him. V'hadatani Yehuda Breden Rav Shem ben Pazi, Rav Meir. The Braisa that we quoted about giving Terumah L'Atchila, that would not be according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's true, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that it's only B'diavad. Rav Meir would be the one who says that it's fine even L'Atchila. So we still have three opinions, but instead of them being Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, now we can say it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says even b'diavad it's no good. You have to hear what you're saying, and that would be what our Mishnah is saying. Rabbi Yehuda would be saying l'chatchila no, b'diavad yes. And Rameo would say, even Lachilah, if you don't hear, then it's fine. And therefore, he would say that a deaf person like this could lay in the Megillah and be Yotze.
How do we know that what Rameo says about Kriyat Shema, he would hold the same about our case?
Well, all the more so. I mean, if he says that even by Shema, where it says Shema Yisrael, he still says that it doesn't matter, that it just means that it's Acha Kavanas Halev Heinen Advarim, how much more so where it doesn't say the word Shema? That was, in fact, what Tosfos was asking before. What made the Gemara think that there should be a problem with not hearing Birkas HaMazon anyway, if it doesn't say Shema by it? And the assumption is that we learn Birkas HaMazon from Shema. But Rav Meir is saying, even by Shema itself, you don't need to actually hear it, even though it says the word Shema. So therefore, there's no reason to think that he would say any different by Birkas HaMazon or by Megillah. And therefore, according to him, it would be fine, even though you don't hear it.
But Shema is D'oraisa, say Shema.
Most opinions hold that Shema is D'oraisa. There is an opinion in the Gemara in Brachas that saying Shema is only D'rabanan. Megillah is definitely D'rabanan, and Birkas HaMazon is definitely D'oraisa.
So the reasoning is based on the fact that most say that Shema is D'oraisa. Is that correct?
Well, no. I mean, that factors into it, but again, as far as Megillah, we don't really need it. Megillah is D'rabanan anyhow. So even if Shema is D'rabanan, it wouldn't really matter much. But we're saying that even by Shema, where it says the word Shema, nevertheless, you still, according to the Meir, don't have to hear it. So the same thing would apply to reading Megillah. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda machshav a katan. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher for a katan to lane and be moitzi other people, a katan who's of the age of chinuch, as we said. So the Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll give you an example. Cotton, how you see, I was a cotton, and I read the Megillah in front of Rabbi Tyfon and the other Chachamim in Lud. So obviously they had no problem with it. That means that it's good. Omruloi, however, the Chacham told him, Ein mevi'in rayim in a cotton. You can't bring proof from a cotton. In other words, you yourself were a cotton, and you're saying about what you did at the time, we can't accept that as valid aegis. If you yourself, if there was somebody else there who was over by mitzvah and said that you did it, then we could pay attention to that, but not like this when you yourself were a cotton.
Even though he's a gadol now.
Even though he's a gadol now, right. So there is, There is a Mishnah in Ksubas that says that there are certain things, with things that are only required d'rabbanan, where we do accept testimony for a person that he saw something when he was a child, and now he's saying when he's an adult. So why don't we say that over here by Mikra Megillah? So Mefoshim explained, because since Mikra Megillah, even though it is d'rabbanan, since we learned previously on Daf Zayin that there is a source for it, a remez there in the Torah, therefore we treat it more like a d'oraisa, and therefore we don't allow, therefore the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Yehuda, we can't accept your testimony about what you did as a child. And after all, I mean, the reason is because a child doesn't necessarily pay attention to all the factors. For all we know, for example, Rab Tarfin and the Skenim might have already heard Megillah from somebody else. So yeah. Okay. Tanya. Then we learn in a Braisa, Omer Rebbe. Katna, you see, Rebbe in a later generation says, I was a child with Priscilla Milam Rabbi Yehuda, and I read the Megillah in front of Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to Rebbe, you can't bring a proof from that, because Rabbi Yehuda himself is the one who says that a katan is allowed to. So you can't bring a proof from the, we know that all the other Chachamim disagree with him. So the fact that you lay in front of him, okay, he's going according to his shitta, but that doesn't show that we can accept that for everybody else. Well, that's what we're saying. That's what Rebbe is saying. So the Gemara asks, why do they need to tell Rebbe that? The Lame Relay in Mavin Raimana Cotton. Why didn't they tell him the same thing as they told Rebbe Yehuda, that you can't bring a proof from a cotton? And the Gemara says, you're right. Chod of Oid Cotton Relay. They're actually telling him two arguments. Chod of the cotton, Isa. Number one, you were a cotton. So therefore, we can't accept your Adris either. But Oid, I feel a God of the Isa. Second of all, even if you're saying Adris, as that you did it as a gadol, a mevin raim, and a matter, you still can't bring a proof from what was done in Rabbi Yehuda's own shul, where of course he's the one who holds that a cotton is kosher to do it. You'd have to show that the other chachamim agree with that, and you can't do that. And the halacha, of course, is like a chachamim, therefore that a cotton cannot be motzi anybody in laning Megillah. Okay, Mishnah says. The Mishnah now is going to list several things that can only be done by day. So the Mishnah says, "In Kurnas Megillah, you cannot read the Megillah by night." That is, I mean, so you have there's a nighttime and there's a daytime reading, but the daytime reading has to be by day. V'loy Molin, you also can't make a Bris Milah. V'loy Tovlin, you also can't Tovel. Now, Tosfos has a long discussion over here. So first of all, Rashi says the toveling we're talking about is, for example, a Zov or Tmei Nes, where they have to count 7 days. We don't say that as soon as the night going into the seventh day comes, then they can already tovel. No, you need to tovel Davka by day. So Rashi explains, it's not that they Davka have to tovel by day, as in like each day, any day after that, they're going to tovel has to be by day. If, let's say, if the Zov's seventh day comes out, let's say on a Sunday, so he has to tovel sometimes. So if he tovel, he can't tovel Motzei Shabbos. The earliest he can tovel is Sunday morning. But if he doesn't tovel sometime during the day on Sunday, sure, he can tovel Sunday night or Monday morning or whatever. The point is just that he can't tovel before the time. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here about the various possibilities of what we're talking about as far as tefillah. One is, For example, when it comes to being sprinkled with parah aduma water, you have two different tefillas. You have one where you tovel before they sprinkle you with parah aduma water. That one, Tosfos says, could be by night. And then you have another one after he gets sprinkled on the third and the seventh day. That one has to be by day. Then Tosfos also discusses at some length other possibilities. Another possibility is that the tevila we mean over here is dipping the azov into the parah aduma water to get ready to sprinkle it. The dipping itself has to take place by day as well. You can't dip it at night and then do the sprinkling in the morning.
What about Tevul Yom?
Then
does it at night?
So Tevul Yom, then that's what it means. You know, with Tevul Yom as tovel during the day, now he's waiting for Head of Shemesh. So v'loy mazin, the actual sprinkling itself, cannot be by night, only by day. V'chein shemeres yom keneged yom loy titpol adjotones achama. The same way as shemeres yom keneged yom, which is a woman who had a flow of blood for 1 day or for 2 days, not during the regular time of her nida. So you have the way it works is that there's a woman's yemei nida, and then after the yemei nida are over, you have 11 days, which are yemei ziva, which are days when potentially there could be ziva. You have a big machlokas between the Rambam and almost all the other Rishonim, how it works. Is it that immediately after the 11 days of ziva immediately begins the 7 days of nida again, or is it only the next days of nida only begin the next time she has a flow? Whatever the case, if during those 11 days she has a flow for 1 or 2 days, then she's called Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She needs one clean day, and then she can go to the mikveh, and she's Tohar and Mutter to her husband. So let's say, in other words, that she had the flow on Sunday, so she needs Monday needs to be her clean day, and then she tovels during the day. She tovels during the day on Monday, and once Monday Shkia comes, then she's Mutter to her husband. If it was both Sunday and Monday, then she needs Tuesday as the clean day. If she has 3 days in succession, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, then already she needs Shiva Naki. We don't do any of those things nowadays, because nowadays we treat women as sort of a combination of Nida and Zava. So any flow that she has, we have there's the certain takonis of the Chachamim, there's Bnois Yisrael Achmiru Al Atzman. And with all of that, the result is that you always have, she has to have 7 clean days regardless, even if it was only a tiny flow of blood. And she has to tovel by night, as is the halacha with a nida. A nida and a yoledus have to tovel by night. Most other tmeim tovel by day. So now we're saying, shemerasim keneged yom, when she tovels, it has to be by day. So ad shetonetzachama, all of them have to wait until netzachama, before they can do any of these things that we're saying in the mission. And the reason is, Rashi says, because before netzachama is a suffix, whether it's still nighttime. Now, on the other hand, if b'dieved they did any of these things before from Alois HaShachar onward, then it's kosher. So laying the Megillah or doing a Bris Mila, etc. If they did it after Alois HaShachar, then b'dieved it's kosher. Meforshim talk about the Rashba, the Ritva, talk about why does the Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah is going to give us a very long list of things that can only be done by day. Why does our Mishnah single out only these 5 things? And the reason is basically because by each of them there's a chiddush that you would have thought that they could be done by night. Megillah, for example, after all, you have a nighttime laying of the Megillah, so maybe the daytime one doesn't dafka have to be after Alois HaShachar or after Netzachama. The mullin, you would say maybe if the mila was done as being done late after the 8th day, then maybe it could be done by night. The tovel and the mazin, all those things you wouldn't know without being told that they dafka have to be done by day. So the Gemara says, Menolon, where do we know that Megillah has to be read dafka after Netzachama or b'dieved after Alois HaShachar? Because the pasuk says, "Vayom Ma'ilin Yizkorim Benasim." It says these days are remembered and they're done, implying by Yom Ein Balayla Lo. So only by day, not by night. So the Gemara says, "Lei Matevi Kuvta Rabbi Shur ben Levi." Well, in that case, does that mean that our Mishnah is a contradiction to Rabbi Shur ben Levi? The Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi Chayv Adam Likus Sam Megillah Balayla Ulsha Noisa Vayom. He said that a person has to lay in the Megillah by night and repeat it by day. So according to him, then you have a laning by night, and our Mishnah doesn't seem to be implying.
And we start at night.
And the answer is kikatani adiyot. You're right. The one of our Mishnah is only talking about the daytime. Is only talking about the daytime laning. There is an interesting idea that some achronim talk about, that maybe in fact in the time of the Mishnah, the halacha was you only needed to lane Megillah by day, and only at some later point after the Shoban Levi said it, did they make the takana that you have to lane it by night as well. That factors into the question of whether you say Shechiyonu by the daytime laning, because if we say that originally the Tachana was to lane by day, then that's the one that deserves the Shechiyonu. So even though you've said Shechiyonu the night before based on this later Tachana, nevertheless, you would still keep the one by day. Some people don't say Shechiyonu by day, right? In fact, you have a machlokus between the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek on that. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Siddur that you don't say Shechiyonu by day, but the Tzemach Tzedek disagrees with him and says that you do, and that's what we do. Okay, we said in the mission of Loim Molin B'chula, we said you don't do a bris mila by night. So dichtiv by Yom Hashmini Yimol, because the pasuk says on the 8th day you should do the bris mila. So you can't do it by night. Okay, v'loy tovlin v'loy mazin b'chula. We said you can't tovel and you can't sprinkle paradum or water by night. So dichtiv v'hiza atorah atomei v'gomer by Yom Hashmini. The pasuk says that the Torah person should sprinkle paradum or water on the tomei person on the 7th day. So therefore, it has to be by day. The itka shtvila la hazoya. You have a hekesh between tvila and hazah, namely that the pasuk says after the hazah, it says v'rochatz mamayim, that he has to then go bathe, that he has to go dip in the mikveh. So therefore, if the hazah has to be by day, then so does the tvila. And again, according to one possibility of Tosfos, it means the dipping of the ezov. So there also you have a hekesh because it mentions that you should dip the ezov into the paradrum water and then sprinkle it. We said v'chein shemeres yom, We said a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom is also not allowed to tovel until Netzacham. So the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously. Why should she be any different? We just said that most Tmeim cannot tovel by night, only by day. So why should a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom be any different? And the answer is Itzrich. We need to mention it specifically by her, because otherwise you would think to have a kiriya rishona shel zav, because otherwise we would think that her one re'iyah should be considered like the first re'iyah of a zav. We learned previously in the first paddock of Armasakta that when a zav has the first flow that he has does not yet make him a zav. It doesn't give him all the rules of a zav as far as mishkav, moshav, and all that, and heset and all those things. The first one, he's effectively just a balkeri. Ur'iyah rishonah shel zav itkash the balkeri. Now that in turn is there's a hekesh between the first one of a zav and a balkeri. As the pasuk says, this is the rule for a zav and for somebody from whom shichvas zera comes out. So ma balkeri tovel b'yom. So just like a balkeri is able to tovel on the same day that he had the keri, he doesn't have to wait until the next day or anything. So you would think, therefore, that zava, you would think that or shemer siyem kineged yom should be able to tovel on the same day. Now, v'ha b'yamamalei matzi tavla. Now, since she can't tovel on that same day, d'chtiv kol yamei zoyva k'mishkam nidasa yiyallah, because the pasuk says that all the days when she has this, when she has her flow, is like then her bed and other things like that, or like the bed that she's on when she's a nidah. In other words, we're talking about a shemeres yom keneged yom. It's actually Rashi. The Rashi refers to the very last page of Shas, the last daf nidah tells us that. So now it can't be, in other words, on the day of the flow itself, that can't be her clean day, because that day was not a clean day. She had a flow. Therefore, so below your mias lev and mixas shimur v'tipo. So maybe it should be good enough that she has at least a little bit of a shimur. She has a watched time by the night, and then she can tovel during the night. In other words, what we would say is a zav who doesn't need any clean, and not a zav, a balkeri who doesn't need any clean days at all, he can tovel on the day when he had his keri. A shemeres yom keneged yom. Granted, she can't tovel on that same day, but at least she should be able to tovel on the following night. We should consider that the beginning of that night is her time of shimur, is her time when she's watching to make sure that she doesn't have a flow. And then sometime during that night, she can tovel. If it's a v'titbo, then she should be able to tovel. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that not. Kibin de boya sfira, since she has to count. She has to count only one day, fine, but still, sfira be a mamahi, then that counting has to be done by day, as the pasuk says, v'safra la shivas yom. So therefore, it has to necessarily be that she counts by day, so therefore, even a shemeres yom keneged yom, even though in a certain sense, she's only like a one-time zav, she doesn't need seven clean days, but she does need one clean day, and that has to be counted by day. So therefore, so that's what she's going to need to do. She's going to need to, so she had the flow on Sunday. Monday is going to have to be her clean day. Sometime during the day on Monday, she could tovel. And then at the end of the day, she'll have a head of shemesh.
It's not like about Sherry, doesn't need to count.
So that's the thing. So our shemeres yom keneged yom does need to count. She needs to count one day. A balkeri doesn't need to count any days. And a one-time male zav doesn't need to count any days either, because he's like a balkeri. Okay. We said in the mission of Cholin Sha'osim, Cha'ola Omen HaShachar Kosher, we said, on the other hand, if any of these people, we said all these things that have to be done after Netzachama, if B'dieved they did them after Alois HaShachar, then it's still kosher. Menahani Nili, so where do we know that from? Amarava, the Amakrava, Yikra Elikim La'or Yom, the pasuk says Hashem called the daytime, the light daytime, meaning Lameir Uba Kro Yom, means as it's becoming light, it's already considered day. So even though you don't have the light, is not yet, the sun has not risen above the horizon, but since you already have light in the sky from Alois HaShachar, then already that's enough to be considered day. So they want to ask Elameata. So by that logic, when you say V'lachoshech kora loyla, when the pasuk continues that darkness Hashem called night, what does that mean? Are we going to say the same thing? L'machshech uva kora loyla? So does it mean as it's getting dark after Shkia, it's already considered night? Hokai Malon, Da'ad Seisa Kachavim Lav Lailahu. We know for a fact that until Seisa Kachavim, it's not considered night. I mean, the only reason why, for example, with Shabbos and Yom Tov, why we start the Mashkiah is only because we don't know exactly whether we have a suffix about Bein HaShemoshes, about the time between Shkiah and Seis. But in principle, if we knew exactly when it begins, then we could begin at that time. So until Seis HaKachavim is actually considered daytime. And we just, it's funny, you know, we just quoted the last blot of Shas. This point is discussed on the first blot of Shas at the beginning of Brachos. That Meim Saikonis Shema Ba'Avis, Mishor Shakayin Maknosim Lechav B'Trumasim, and that's Seis HaKachavim. So if the lachoshach kara loyla doesn't mean that as it becomes dark, it's already considered nighttime, then how can vayikra elikim la'oyo mean as it's becoming light, it's already considered daytime? So that doesn't work.
There's no proof.
Right. So ela amar abzeira mehach. Rather, abzeira says the proof comes from a pasuk in Nechem. So he's describing over there how they're building the walls of Yerushalayim, and the various enemies of the Jews, the Kusim and whatever, are harassing them and trying to prevent them from doing the work. So he says, "V'anachnu oisim b'malacha." So we were doing the work. V'chetzia machzikin b'remachim. Half of the people were holding spears to be ready at a moment's notice to defend them against attacks. Me'alois hashachar ad seis kachavim. From alois hashachar until seis kachavim. So you see that already. Alois hashachar is considered daytime. The Omer, and the pasuk continues, V'hoya lanu, v'hoyu, really, lanu halayla mishmar, that the night was for us a time for watching, and the daytime was a time for doing malach. So the Gemara says, my V'omer, why do we need that second pasuk? What is it adding to the proof? Because if we only had the first proof, V'chitema misha'ola omen ha-shachar, lav yamama, we could say that maybe alois ha-shachar is not yet considered the daytime, or miki arva shim shalelia, and on the other hand, maybe already shkia is enough for it to be considered night. The iu machdemi machashli. We were just saying the people were very eager to do the work, so therefore they were willing to start early and work late. That doesn't necessarily show that just because it says they were working from alois ha-shachar to tzeis kachavim doesn't show that that's the definition of day and night. Tashma b'hoyu lanu halayla mishma v'ayem malacha, where we see that Nehemiah is describing that the daytime is the time for work. In other words, the implication is the whole time they were working from alois hashachar until seis hakachavim is called daytime. So that's the proof. Okay, as Rashi had said on the Mishnah, v'chatchila, we wait till Netzachama in order for it not to be a suck. But nevertheless, we see
the previous example you gave didn't prove it. Why again? You went very
because
fast.
Because the first pasuk from Nehemiah that says that they were working from alois hashachar till seis kachavim, that doesn't necessarily prove in and of itself that that's the definition of daytime. It means, in other words,
no. In the previous example, not this example, the previous one.
Which from Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom? Because we said if Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom means that as it's becoming light, it's already considered day, then Velachoshech Karoloida would have to mean as it's becoming dark, it's already considered night, and we know that it's not. In halacha, nighttime begins with Seis HaKachavim. So it would be inconsistent.
Okay, speak slow a bit because some of the words I can't hear.
Sorry. If Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom means as it's becoming light, it's already considered daytime, then the parallel would be v'lachoshech kor haloila would be as it's becoming dark, it's already considered night. But it's not so, because night in halacha only begins tseis kachavim. Therefore, we can't say that the first half of that pasuk shows that as it's becoming light, it's already considered daytime.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, kol hayom kosher. So now the Mishnah is going to give a very long list of things that can be done anytime during the day. So now the Ritva discusses, so now why did, the, if we had previous Mishnah, which told us five things that have to be done by day, why didn't just combine the two Mishnayos together? And the answer is because, again, the ones that we had in the previous Mishnah, there was a certain chidush in all of them that we wouldn't have known that they're only kosher by day and not by night. Now in our Mishnah, we're going to bring the whole list of other ones. But what we're going to do is we're going to first mention Kriyas HaMegillah because, in other words, it means Kriyas HaMegillah, etc. It means Kriyas HaMegillah as well as the other ones that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Also, the Me'iri points out, the fact is, I mean, our Masechta is mainly talking about Kriyas HaMegillah, so therefore there's more reason to stress that. So the Mishnah says, Kol Hayom Kosher L'Kriyas HaMegillah, the whole day is kosher for reading the Megillah. In other words, we're saying that even though Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvahs, even though the ideal is to do the mitzvah as early in the day as possible, nevertheless, you can still do it anytime during the day. Ula Kriyas Ahalel, also for saying Hallel. Ula Tkiyas Shofar, also for blowing Shofar. Ula Natilas Lulav, for taking Lulav. Ula Tfilas Amusafin, also for davening Musaf. Vala Musafin, and for the Korban Musaf itself. Now, some of these things, I mean, for example, the Korban Musaf has to be brought after the Tomid Shel Shachar. So it's not like it can necessarily be any time during the day, because practically speaking, you need to bring the Tomid before it. But in other words, in principle, it's kosher any time during the day. So you have to have something else before it, but that doesn't really change the fact that in principle, it could be brought any time during the day. So, ideally, until the seventh hour, but it can, in fact, be brought any time during the day. Another thing that can be done any time during the day is the vidui that they do on the bulls that are brought for the parhelam davashal tzibur, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha and most of the Jewish people follow it, or where the Kohen Gadol himself makes a mistake in halacha and follows it. So they bring a special par for each of those cases, and the vidui, they lean on them and they say vidui, so that can be done anytime during the day. Or the vidui meiser, another one that can be done by day anytime during the day is vidui meiser, what's described in Parashas Ki Savoy, where after you finished, you have the in the third year and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, you've given away all your trumas and meiseris and everything that you had stored up from the last couple of years, and then the last day Pesach of the fourth year and of the seventh year, you make a declaration to Hashem, be out the Akkodesh min Abayis, I've removed all the holy things from the house and I've given them to the Levi and the Ger and so on and so forth, and Hashkifam min Kodshifam. So that you can do anytime during the day. Or the Vidui Yom Kippurim, also the Vidui that the Kohen Gadol does on the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, the three Viduyim that he does, can be anytime during the day. Tosfos points out, I mean, since the next thing we're going to mention is smicha. Now, of course, the vidui takes place during smicha. So, of course, then, if you can do smicha the whole day, then you should be able to do vidui the whole day. Tosfos says you would have thought that maybe this vidui cannot be done anytime during the day. And in that case, maybe the smicha couldn't. But instead, we're going to learn in the Gemara that they can be done anytime during the day. Next, the smicha. Doing smicha on the animal before you shecht it for the korban, l'shchita, the actual shchita of the korban, l'tnufa, waving, you have the korbanos mincha have to be waved, you have certain korbanos of animals have to be waved, those things can be, the waving can be done anytime during the day. L'hagosha, you have a korban mincha, you put it on a kli shoris, and then you take the kli shoris to the corner of the mizbeach and touch it there, to the southwest corner, so that you can do anytime during the day. L'kmitza, taking the koimetz, the handful of from the mincha, l'ak torah, and the actual burning of the koimetz on the mizbeach, l'malika, also the malika of a bird korban can be done anytime during the day, or a kabbalah, the receiving the blood of an animal korban in the basin, or l'hazoya, the actual sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. All those things can be done anytime during the day. L'ashkoya sota, also giving the sota the drink, can be done anytime during the day. Ula arifa sa egla, the decapitating the egla arufa when they find a dead body in the middle and then in the fields outside the city and they measure for the nearest city, etc., etc. So that whole ceremony can be done anytime during the day. Ula tara sa metzora and the purification of a metzora, the whole thing I described at the beginning of Parashas Metzora with the two birds and the eitz eras and ezov and so forth, that can be done anytime during the day. The Gemara is going to show us one at a time. We're going to go through them and see how we know they can be done anytime during the day. Next, the Mishnah continues. Kol ha'layla kosher tziras ha'omer. The entire night is kosher for harvesting the barley for the omer. Ula hekter chalav ve'barim, and also for burning the fat, the leftover fats and limbs of the korbanos on the mizbeach. So those can be done anytime during the night. Tosfos mentions over here that in this connection, you have in connection with Sfiras HaOmer, since Sfiras HaOmer is similar in that sense to harvesting the Omer, then it means that Sfiras HaOmer also has to have to be done with a bracha by night, and you can't say it with a bracha by day, which is why we have the halacha that you don't say it, that if you forgot by night, then you say it by day without a bracha. So the Mishnah says, Zachval, the general rule, Dabashim mitzvase by yom kosher kol yom, any mitzvah that any mitzvah that the mitzvah can be accomplished anytime, that the mitzvah is accomplished by day, kosher kol hayom, then it's kosher to do it anytime during the day. So all the ones that we mentioned in the previous mishnah as well as this one, dovish mitzvah sebalayla, and mitzvahs that the mitzvah to do them is by night, kosher kol hayom, then they're kosher the whole night. The Gemara will explain. We'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what this Zahak Klal is coming to add. What other mitzvahs are we talking about that have not been enumerated in the Mishnah that you have these rules? Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Menolon, where do we know that? So let's start with how we know that Kriyas HaMegillah is kosher anytime during the day. So as we said, Anam Adalaf, Yom HaKrava, Yom HaMa'elin, Yiskorim Menasim. As the Pasuk said, these days will be remembered and done. So once it says that it's by day, then it means it's kosher anytime during the day. Again, Zerizin Makdim LaMitzvahs, but it is kosher anytime during the day.
Are you using it to address something else in the Megillah?
No, so we said, by Yom HaMe'elah, we said it means that we said on Amar Aleph. It means that's why we know that it can't be done by night.
Isn't it a drash for something else?
No, we mentioned Iskarim Menasim, that there's other drashas we learned from Itkash Sechiro La'asiyah, that we have a comparison between the remembering of Purim and the doing of Purim. But no, we're focusing on the words by Yom HaMe'elah. Okay, the Kriyas HaHalal. How do we know Halal can be said anytime during the day? Because the Pasuk says, from the rising of the sun until it's setting. So anytime during the day. Rabbi Yosef, it says on the side, it should be. Rabbi Yosef says you have a different source for that. The Pasuk says in Halal, Zeh HaYom Asa Hashem. This is the day that Hashem made. So therefore, anytime during the day is kosher for it. Next, Natilas Lulav. How do we know that Natilas Lulav can be done anytime during the day? The Pasuk says you should take for yourself on the first day. So again, that means anytime during the day. And of course, we have that in the Beis Hamikdash, you took it for 7 days, and Midrabanan Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made the takana after the Churban that we do it 7 days every day. Next, Kiyas Shofar. How do we know that can be done anytime during the day? The Pasuk says it should be a day of Shofar blowing for you. Ulamusafin, how do we know that the korban musaf can be brought anytime during the day? The rule, the matter of each day on its day. So each korban musaf has to be brought on its day. So therefore, dafka by day. And then how do we know that applies to the tefillah of musaf? Kamusafin shavu rabbanon, because the chachamim modeled tefillas musaf on the actual bringing of the korban musaf itself. Next, well, the vidui parim. How do we know that the vidui parim can be done by any time during the day? The yalef kapara kapara miyam kippurim. The answer is because we learned by exeder shava of the word kapara from Yom Kippur. The tanya gabi yam kippurim, because we learn in a brisa that by Yom Kippur it says v'chibur ba'adir va'ad beisai. It says he should atone for himself and for his family. That doesn't mean usually kapara usually means the sprinkling of the blood, but here the Gemara explains in that connection that the word v'chipa ba'adir v'ad beisai means v'kaparas dvorim akosim medaber, means that we're talking about a kapara of words that he asks Hashem to forgive the Jewish people their averus. The reason is because only a few psukim later does it say he shechts the ant, that he shechts the curtain. So that kapara is talking about, talking about vidui, but kapara be a mamu, and that can be any time during the day. Just by yom hazeh, as it says, on this day, he will be mechaper for you. So once we know that applies to the vidui of Yom Kippur, then automatically that applies to the vidui of the Purim as well.
It's not coming to exclude other days, it's telling you davka.
Well, but it wouldn't need to. I mean, we already said that it's davka on this day. So the fact that it says by yom hazeh means davka by day, not by night. Okay, well, the vidui ma'isiv. How do we know that vidui ma'isiv can be any time during the day? You should declare in front of Hashem that I've gotten all of the kodesh out of the house and given it to wherever it's supposed to go. The samichlay, and right after that, the pasuk continues. Hayom hazeh Hashem alakecha metzavcha. On this day, Hashem has commanded you. So therefore, that means, in other words, that the previous mitzvah that it was talking about is davka by day. Next, l'smicha v'l'shchita. How do we know that smicha and shchita have to be done dafka by day and anytime during the day? Dichtiv v'samach v'shachat. The pasuk says you should do smicha on the korban and then you should shecht, meaning, in other words, that one comes right after the other. Take the smicha shchita. Uchtiv ba b'shchita b'yom zivchachem. Regarding the shchita, the expression, the pasuk is on the day when you offer it. So we see that the shchita has to be done by day, and therefore necessarily the smicha has to be done by day as well. And again, any time during the day. or the tnufa, how do we know that tnufa, the waving of the korban, has to be done by day? Because it says on the day that you wave the omer. So that waving, so the same thing applies to other kinds of wavings as well. Ula hagosha, how do we know that the touching of the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach is done by day? The itkash l'tnufa, the reason is because you have a hekesh between that and tnufa. The pasuk says by a soita, the kohen takes the minchas haknois from her and he waves it and he offers it. So therefore, and the offering is the touching it to the corner of the mizbeach, because only then after that does it talk about taking the chmitza in the next pasuk. So therefore, so we see that the hanofa, the waving is the same as the hagosha, and both of them have to be done by day. Next, the next four things that we said in the Mishnah, malika of a bird korban, the kmitza of a mincha, the burning of the koymetz on the mizbeach, and for that matter, the burning of the parts of a bird korban, etc., and the sprinkling of the blood. How do we know that all of those have to be done by day? As the pasuk says, on the day that Hashem commanded Bnei Yisrael to bring their korbanos. So all of these are part of bringing the korban. So Rashi gives two explanations. Number one, all of these are the actual offering of the korban. The burning of the koymetz itself, that is actually offering something to Hashem. Kmitza, you have, is mentioned in connection with Haktara, because it says v'kamatz v'hiktir. So therefore, what if you have one has to be by day, so does the other. The malika is the malika and the hazoya of a bird korban is how you're offering it by squirting the blood onto the mizbeach, doing malika and squirting the blood onto the mizbeach. And the Kabbalah is actually called hakrava in the pasuk. Rashi says another explanation is that all of these things that we just mentioned, kmitza, malika, etc., are all necessary prerequisites. You can't offer something on the mizbeach without doing those, as opposed to hagosha and tinufa. Conceivably, you could offer something on the mizbeach without doing those. Therefore, we needed a separate limud for those. Tosfos also points out we needed a separate limud for shchita, because shchita is not really an avoda. After all, a zor can do it. For that matter, Tosfos points out tenufa and hagosha also don't really require a kohen. Only the kohen only has to take over beginning from the kmitzah. So therefore, we need a different limudim for those things. Next, lashkoyas soita. How do we know the giving the soita to drink has to be by day? Asya toda toda. We learn by exeira shava of the word toda. Ksiv hachav asalak kohen eskar toda azois. Here, by the soita, the pasuk says the kohen should do for her all of this Torah, all of these rules. In Parshas Shoftim, it says, according to the Torah, which they teach you, and the judgment, ma mishpat vayoyim, just like judgment has to be by day, which in turn, that we learn, Rashi says, from a pasuk that talks about inheritance, where it says, b'yoyim hanchilei esbonav, where we learn from that any mishpat has to take place by day, afkan vayoyim, the same way the giving the soita to drink, which is called a Torah, just like a piyat Torah, asher yerucha, has to be by day. Dinim Mominus, you have to start the Din Torah by day. You can finish it off by night, but you still have to start it during the day. And then we said Vala Arifa Sa'egla. The next thing is the decapitating of the Egla Arufa has to be done by day. How do we know that? Amid Rav Yana, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav Yana, Kapora Ksiv Kodshim, because the Pasuk describes it with the word Kapora, similar to Kodshim. So since we established before that Kapora takes place by day, that Kodshim have to be shechted, and the blood sprinkled, et cetera, by day, then the Egla Arufa, where it says Kapil Am for Yisrael, has the same meaning. And all the Taharas Mitzorah, the last one we had was the purification of a Mitzorah, Dichtiv Zoistia Teres HaMitzorah, B'yoyim Taharos, on the day when he's made Torah. So we see that it has to be by day. Okay. And we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with the things by night, and then finish off the Perek, Best Hashem.